the book of Philippians for quite some time now. And this last section of the book, it's almost like a little window into Paul's heart and the Philippians' behavior. And it's about money. And usually when there's some kind of sharing or sermon or message about money, there's some kind of motive involved, maybe a new building project or something like that. This is not the occasion for this sharing, but it is a good opportunity to think about this because we all touch money. And I'd like to get into the heart of how Paul deals with this and also see his heart for the Philippians. You know, some people, like when it comes to money and Christians, there are a number of kind of wrong ways to go about this. One is you could call it the prosperity gospel. That's the name that Christians give it. And that is kind of a preaching or a teaching that if I give money to the Lord, he will give me more. It's almost like, you know, you could get pretty superstitious in that realm. Paul, you will see, does not go there. The other one is kind of a more mechanical way of approaching money and the Lord. And then, and there are some places where when you join the church, they will ask for your 1040s. And you take your income and you move one decimal point, and that is expected of the quote unquote members. And you know, and I would say, well, it certainly like causes results, but it's a little mechanical. And I do encourage 10%, you know, but it's a little mechanical. And Paul, we're going to see, is not that way. Then I would say there's this other kind of, maybe like a superstitious way of handling money. And that's more like, wow, I really need something. So I am going to give this to the Lord with the thought that he will take care of me. And I would say like, that is also in a certain kind of extremity. So we're going to see Paul's way. It's responsible. It's not superstitious. It's very much centered on Christ. And it looks like a way where he is actually delivered from the power of money, but then he still uses money. And we want to see if we could be that way, aspire to that, and where we could be in certain ways like Paul with money, and in other ways like the Philippians with money. So this is the whole section here, and we'll kind of go through this. So in 4:10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Now, you may not know what, were they just feeling something for him? No, actually, Paul was in prison in Rome, and the Philippians were in Philippi, maybe about 1,000 miles away. And then when he says, you have revived your concern for me, what we find out is through the brother Epaphroditus, they sent a material gift, a monetary gift to Paul. And then somehow before they were concerned, but they didn't have an opportunity to send that gift. So either they didn't know where Paul was, that's a possibility, or, maybe you know, somehow things did not align where they could take the gift that they wanted to give him and get it to him. And everything kind of worked out. And so then Paul received this gift from the Philippians, and he says, like, I rejoiced in the Lord. I rejoiced in the Lord. And so basically they sent him the money, and he was like, thank you, Lord. It's almost like he saw that they had given something and then were happy that God worked in them to do this. And then he kind of opens up where he is with this whole thing. And I like this. Not that I speak from want. So he received their gift, but it's like, I didn't want it. And you wonder, like, how could this be? What is going on inside this person? Not that I speak from want. And then he opens his experience of Christ. Look at this. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And he continues, I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So I'd like to just kind of walk through what the Apostle Paul was experiencing. Number one, he learned in whatever circumstances his material possessions brought him into to be this one word here, content. If there was ever an un-American verse, this is it. He would just look at his circumstances, and concerning what he had, he could say this word, the C word. I'm just content. I'm content. I don't want more if I have little. If I am with a lot that gives me prosperity, I am not anxious about that. I have just learned in whatever circumstance I am, Lord Jesus, thank you. Now maybe some of us would say, like, well, then all of his motivation is gone. You know, like, people are motivated to improve their lives, to get more stuff. So you would ask, like, what is his motivation? Well, the thing is, he was not out in his life to get more stuff. What was he out for in his exercise, in his life? He was there to pursue and press on to gain Christ, to know Christ, and to serve Christ. And then also in his life, he had to deal with these material things. So he would look at these material things and just say, you know what? I am content. I'm content. And I like these two little words here. I have learned. And then here, I have learned the secret. And what those things kind of unveil about Paul's experience was this. He wasn't born that way. You're not born knowing how to do a triple integral in spherical coordinates. Amen? You're not born that way. You're not born knowing how to play a violin. You're not born that way. You have to learn those things. And if you look at what Paul's life was it was like a life of learning when it came to the material things. And the Greek words are kind of interesting. I would not have written them if I had written the Bible. This one learned here is the typical learned. It's like the typical word for learning. It's a common word. And here, the second one, they translate it, learn the secret. Paul uses a Greek word there that is only used once in this part of the Bible. Only used once in the New Testament and is referred to outside the New Testament as like a description of a mystery cult at the time. So you look at those, and then if I were writing the Bible, I would not include this word. But Paul included this word. And then, so what would a mystery cult of that day be like? You know, just think of somebody who's like kind of deep into some kind of like mysterious religion. And then you would ask them like, hey, what do you do in that religion? They say, I can't tell you. It's a mystery. I have been initiated into the rites of that group. And you're not. Okay, I don't want to go through the details or whatever. But Paul says, like, you know, and he's not saying that he was part of a mystery cult, but he's saying this. It was kind of like that as I learned how to be with the Lord concerning these things. And I like his experiences here. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. Let me just open that up a little bit. I'll start with the hunger. Okay, and then I'll just talk about Paul. Paul is on his journeys from city to city. And he's in a city, maybe Ephesus. He mentions this when he's writing to Corinth. I'm hungry. Okay. This is the Apostle Paul. And he has a lot of people that he's influenced all over, you know, modern day Turkey and Macedonia, Achaia. And then he looks, what do I have to eat? And there's nothing. And he's really hungry. I don't have that. And then he's learned the secret. Lord, you're enough. You will get me through. And then you could think, well, maybe if he didn't learn the secret, he would be like this. Oh no, I'm hungry. Lord, I might have misstepped. I might have caused you to be mad at me. So you took away that provision. He didn't. Or he may have thought that, wow, because I'm hungry, there's no way I could serve God. No way I could preach to the people in Ephesus because I don't have any food. And then he found a way. I can preach. And he would go through that and just say, you know what? my service to the Lord, my contentment is not dependent on what I have. What is it? It is dependent only on the Lord. And as I'm saying this, I'm just kind of like, how could a person be this way? So Paul would never say to somebody, look, I am here preaching the gospel. You should give me money. No, not that I speak from want. I just found the Lord. And maybe, who knows? Maybe when Paul faced hunger in this way, he would just be able to say, you know, like, I trust the Lord. I just trust the Lord. I've learned that secret. I've learned. And I've learned, and I'm just kind of content. I'm not going to do something so that I get more money. And he has a boast, even. Paul has a boast. If you read the other, you know, the other writings he has in 1 Corinthians 9, etc., it's like, in Thessalonians, he says, like, I never took even one meal from you without paying. In other words, like, I never asked for a meal. Because just so that I could, nobody could say I was preaching to you so you would give money to me. No one can say that. No one can say that. Paul was like, you know, I'm preaching to you so you know Christ, so you love Christ. I'm preaching to you so that you would advance in your knowledge of God's eternal purpose, and you would be brought in to the building of the church. I'm not preaching to you so you give me money. Why? Because I have learned I'm just content. I'm just content. And I have learned the secret to just go hungry. Because, you know, and then eventually he says this, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Usually we see that after the football player has gotten the touchdown, you know, they interview them and they're like, how'd you win that game? I could do all things through him who strengthens me. And he's like, wow, that's great. You know, and then you see this applied in a lot of different ways. If you would ask Paul, what is the context of that verse that you can do all things in him who strengthens me? Paul might say, look at Ephesus. Look at Thessalonica. I went there. I had nothing. I had no provision. And then I began to preach. And then in my preaching, there was a person who got saved, and then another person got saved, and then another person got saved. And now there is a testimony of the church right there. And then there is a marvelous expression of, you know, the new covenant ministry lived out in these people. And you would say, like, but Paul, where was your funding source? Where was the source of all of your whatever, the board that sent you? And he's like, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Just realize, like, wow, that was his testimony. That was his testimony. And then also, you know, he did, and I'll just add a little bit about, like, the abundance, being filled, you know, prosperity. He also experienced the other side, you know, and then I would say there needs to be a learning in both sides. You know, sometimes you know, sometimes you're just, your income just goes up a factor of four, a factor of five. And then, you know, with certain jobs or whatever, your income, and then a certain prosperity comes. And then people have to learn how to live with that. We've seen this, like there's some people in Africa, they can follow the Lord in Africa, in you know, Kampala, Uganda, where things are hard, life is hard, there's a little, and then they come to America. Soon, their love for the Lord just goes down. Why? It's the American prosperity, whatever, that just saps their going on with the Lord. So maybe Paul, maybe sometimes he receives gifts from people. We're going to see he doesn't refuse gifts, but he doesn't want them. Maybe he would just have a lot of money all of a sudden. And then he would look at that money and say, in his subconscious, wow, now that we have this money, I don't really need to pray. I don't really need to seek the Lord. You know, if you have no money and if you're hungry, you know what you're going to do? Give us today our daily bread. And that's going to be very real. And then, that's going to be a really, you know, but then if you have like, you have so much bread, sometimes I wonder, like if I were an herbivore, I wonder how it feels, you know? If you eat grass and you're just like in a field of grass, can you imagine that? Like, it'd be like being in a field of hamburgers, you know, you just open your mouth and it's right there, you know? Anyway, I wonder how they feel, but anyway, and then maybe Paul would get a whole bunch of money. And then it's like, well, we don't need to trust the Lord for that anymore. Oh, I learned the secret of being filled. Hudson Taylor really carried out his mission to preach the gospel to China through faith. And he never publicized his need for financial means. And at one point he was supporting through his ministering, endeavors, maybe 800 or 900 missionaries in China. And then towards the end of his life, he got an enormous gift. And then he made a comment, and I don't have the exact quote, but it was something like, I don't know if this is good or bad. Because why? So long we had almost nothing, and now we have abundance. And maybe his thought was, do we know how to live in prosperity? Do we know? And then Paul would just be like, I just learned the secret. I've learned the secret. To get along with humble means, I know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and hungry, having abundance and suffering need. Okay, before I go on to, I would just say, like, you know, for us, we need to learn this. Where, you know, I'm just content. And sometimes I have a little bit. And I just know how to trust the Lord for that. I know people who even just sometimes given and their bank account goes from 000 to it goes from 1000 whatever to 000. Just gave it all. Just like, discontent. Can you do that? Not irresponsibly? Not superstitiously? Thinking like the Lord is like gonna, now he'll bless me a lot. But just like, you know what? I'm just content. Maybe the plans I had will just be delayed a little bit. But I trust the Lord. I know. And then, at the same time, can I be in prosperity? And maybe receive a lot from some means. And still have the ability. I just trust the Lord. I need to still rely on him. What a marvelous picture of a person who I am not driven or inspired or too much directed by what I have. I'm more directed by I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's like, wow, Lord, I just learned. If I have a little, I just trust the Lord. Lord, I just trust you. If I have a lot, I still know how to live in a way where I am still living for Christ. I am still living for his purpose. I am not distracted, and I am not putting my hope in those riches. When Paul was like this, you could just see when he was this kind of person, just think about how pure he is. If he's speaking to a church, he doesn't want their money for his own food. He just wants them to love the Lord. Okay, not that I speak from want. Okay, so we'll just go on, and I hope we get a picture of Paul. And I'll say a little bit more, but after these next two sections. The Philippians, they did have a history of offering to Paul. And so, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. So, you know, Paul was not like, no, I don't want to take your gift. It's very interesting. He's not like, I don't want to take your gift. That's the famous joke, you know, like Peter is, I'll tell you a joke. I'll tell you the joke. Peter was like standing before God. This man was standing before God. He had died in a flood, and then he's kind of like he's justifying his life, and then he's like, God, why didn't you rescue me from this flood? And I think I messed up the joke. Okay. Anyway. Oh yeah. Here it is. He was in a flood, and then somebody came and a boat to save him. And he's like, no, God will save me. And then the guy goes by in a boat. And then eventually a helicopter comes by. He's like, no, God will save me. And the helicopter flies away. And then he eventually dies. And then he asks God, why didn't you save me from that flood? And then God was like, I sent a boat and a helicopter. And anyway, I think I lost that one. I got to work on that delivery. My point is this. Paul could say this. I don't want it. I don't need it. But then I'm glad you gave it and I took it. This is called a complex person. He took it. So it wasn't like, and then he might have even taken their gift as like, that was the provision you sent me, that God sent me. And it was from the Philippians. And then, so Paul wasn't like, no, I don't want anything. So I will not receive it. No, he wasn't like that. It's like, you did well. I'm glad you shared. And then he goes on. You've done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, that's where Philippi is, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. So, isn't this interesting? You would ask Paul, do you want a gift? Like, nope. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I've even learned the secret of being hungry. Then, when the Philippians sent him something, would you refuse it? He's like, no, I'll take it. Taking it as if it's from the Lord. And then he says, why? I don't seek the gift itself. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. So, Thomas, come on up here. We'll give you an example. So you just ask me. Yeah. Just ask me. Rex, do you need money?
Rex, do you need money?
Nope. I have learned the secret to be filled to hunger. I've learned it. And then give me some money. I'll take it. And you're saying, like, aren't you a hypocrite? You said you didn't want it. You don't need it. Like, no, I don't want this. I actually don't need it. But it's very good for him. I seek the profit which increases to your account. So then, you know why he gave this to me? Because God worked in his heart. And when God worked in his heart, he separated this man from money. This is un-American. He separated this man from money and caused this man to want to help another member of the body of Christ. And then God would profit this man in his account. And I'm seeking that. I don't seek the gift. I don't seek the gift, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. So now you can tell the Lord, or the Lord has his account. I think he has a good accounting method. And then the Lord would just say, look at Thomas, your whole life, you had like a history of giving. And I touched your heart and I inspired you and I separated you from your money. And you know what? You have an account that has so many things in it. So much of a balance in your account. And the Lord will reward you. And so he says this, I have received everything in full, have an abundance and amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. And look at this, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So if I could burn this money, that would be a good illustration, right? A fragrant aroma, acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. It's very interesting. You could say this, man who doesn't want the gift or need the gift accepts the gift. That is a purity in Christian handling money. And then here is a man who was just inspired to give, and he gave to somebody who didn't want it or didn't need it. But that person accepted it so that he, in his life, could make a acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, a fragrant aroma. And that he would have an account that is like increasing. Thank you, Thomas. I really don't need that. I think it's just a beautiful picture. And I hope we can live according to this way. And I'll just give a couple of, it's interesting. We're, you know, 3 years ago, we had we call it a 10-month labor. Some people don't know what that means. So it's like internship, where 30 people took off for 1 year. And then we, you know, study the Bible, et cetera. And then some people ask, like, how did you support that whole thing? Like, how could 30 people quit their jobs for 1 year? And where did it all come from? And then it's kind of interesting. Like, we had no fundraising campaign for that. But James, did the Lord meet every need? No one's bills were late. Not even one participant starved. And you just feel like the Lord opened the door. And we just walk through. And you can say, wow, I can do all things in him who empowers me. And it wasn't like a great limitation. The finances were a great limitation, whatever. Just like there was something there that was a sense from the Lord. We should go this way. And then there was also like provision. And then during that time, many people just had some sense from the Lord that there would be a fragrant aroma, acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And out of the abundance of their heart, there was offering. You would ask, how did that whole thing work? I would say, it's a picture like this. And it's a beautiful way the Lord can work where, and then also out of those people that gave, I don't know, not one of them lost their house, starved. The Lord was able to meet the need. And so Paul just concludes, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's not prosperity where I give the Lord 10, I expect 100 back. It's not mechanical where, okay, I just, you know, do something in kind of a mechanical way. It is not kind of like superstitious and it's not irresponsible where, you know, I'm not responsibly handling money in one way or the other, but it's kind of this. We all learn the secret before the Lord. And we can all say something like, I can do all things through him who empowers me. And then there is a giving and receiving. But the object is really not the thing given or the thing received. The object is this, that we would be able to serve Christ and that we would be able to know Christ and that we would be able to have an account that is increasing. And the Lord would fill the church with a fragrant aroma that is from his work in our hearts. And then we would all experience my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Let's read 20 together. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope we can have this kind of like experience of the Lord with our money, both with our serving the Lord and also with our, you know, offering to him. And we can really taste this kind of life where the Lord will supply everything as we trust in him and we're not reliant on the riches, but on material wealth, but we are experiencing, learning the secret of following Christ.